Nevertheless, one of the names of the United States, Mrs. Trust, our apostolic Sabbatarian congregation, Mount San Francisco, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 4, 2016, is Feebet 6, 2020. We will start our first service on this first day of the week with a song entitled Yahshua Saves. We have heard the joyful song. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Spread the tidings all around. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Let the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the way. Onward tells how Yah's come down. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Held his head, his forehead won. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Yahshua saves. Yahshua saves. Sing above the battle shrine. Yahshua saves. Yahshua saves. By his death an endless life. Yahshua saves. Yahshua saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Give the winds a mighty force. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Shout salvation falling free, highest hills and deepest cave. Tis a song of victory. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves.
Abominations that maketh desolate, part one. Matthew 24. This, go to 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, I have a new revelation here for you today on this abomination and desolation, because I've always told you in times past that Willis Johnson was a man of sin, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, that had to fall away. He had to fall away in order for the man of sin to be revealed in our time. And so, what... Let me turn to 2 Thessalonians and let's read that. Now it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, if you're in the true congregation of Israel, and you're looking for the judgment to begin at your house, then you also have to know the signs. You have to know the signs also ahead of time, So it's important that we learn about signs and what signs are given for. And one sign is given is that you understand first what abominations are in the church, and also what blasphemies are, which constitutes blasphemy and abomination. Now, I'm going to read to you here in Leviticus 24, starting with verse 11. It says, let's start with verse 10. Okay, let's not start with verse 8. Every Sabbath he shall sit it in order before the Yahweh continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall come, and it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, where it is most holy unto him, of the offerings of the Yahweh, made by fire by a perpetual statute. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Yahweh. Now, keep in mind this here, Israelite woman's son, father is an Egyptian now, and they don't pronounce the sacred name Yahweh the same way. The Egyptians have their own pagan name for Yahweh. And that's what this son was brought up with an Egyptian father. And cursed. So it says, and the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Yahweh and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shulamit, S-H-E-L-O-M-I-T-H, Shulamit, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And keep in mind that Dan was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and he was the worst son of them all, it ended up. He was a viper, by the way. Matter of fact, Dan was so far removed from the 12 tribes of Israel that he was moved even offshore. Dan's tribe had to be moved offshore of Israel on an island. People don't know this. They're in the far north, but they had to be removed off. Actually, if I have my story right, I'll have to go and double-check on that, but so far, let us go ahead. And in Leviticus 24:12, talking about this here Israelitish woman and her son with an Egyptian father, and they put him in ward. They took and put this son in ward, that the mind of the Yahweh might be showed them. And the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him, all of them that actually heard him curse, lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. So it's only those that heard him blaspheme. They were the only ones that could pass judgment on this young man. Okay? And then it says in verse 15, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curses his Yahweh and shall bear his sin, and he that blasphemeth the name of Yahweh, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land when he blasphemeth the name of Yahweh, and shall be put to death. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if any man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done unto him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done unto him again. And what's going to happen to all of these false Adventist leaders, preachers, and officers that are lying continually every day unto their congregations and unto the Adventist people, the sheep of their flock? What's he going to do? They cause that soul to be turned away and lost. Same thing going to happen to them. Verse 21 in Leviticus 24. And he that killeth the beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth the man, he shall be put to death. You shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country. For I am the Yahweh your Elohim. Okay. So what do we learn here? That if you don't use the Yahweh's true name that was introduced to Adam and through the original language given unto man here on earth, and that's your Paleo Hebrew, that's not the Aramaic Hebrew that Nebuchadnezzar hybrid from the Paleo, the Chaldean dialect that Daniel understood when he was in the king's palace. Daniel understood both languages. He understood the Paleo Hebrew, and he understood the Chaldean dialect. All right. And so when the handwriting came upon the wall that night in the palace of Belshazzar, Daniel was quickly ushered in to interpret that writing because it was of the original Paleo Hebrew. And Belshazzar, being grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Baba knows and calls it his son, but actually he had two steps down from Nebuchadnezzar, and he was blaspheming the temple of Israel. He was blaspheming, and he was using the hybrid language of the Chaldean dialect to pronounce Yahweh's name wrong and to pronounce the whole original Hebrew language wrong. Matter of fact, they so much got away from the original Paleo Hebrew through that Chaldean dialect or the hybrid Hebrew language that the Nebuchadnezzar even wrote a new alphabet of the Paleo Hebrew. He used only 22 letters. That's the same Paleo Hebrew had in it, 22 letters. He only used 22 letters as well, but he wrote a different vowels and so forth. In other words, he wrote the different alphabet. It was designed differently than the Paleo, where you couldn't even recognize it as being the original language. And so that's what they were going by. So when it says that you curse and blaspheme, the Egyptians was using a hybrid invented name for their false god, and that's what this son was raised up by, is this false name. And so when he got disputing with an Israelite there, once they got out in the wilderness, this Israelite Hebrew boy, he got to arguing with a Jewish fella and person, and he cursed the Israelite's God. He cursed him by calling him by that Egyptian pagan God name. That's how you blaspheme Yahweh. And it cost the boy his life. And it was an example for all Israel, even down to our day. And so Adventists, they use these pagan titles for Baal, the Lord God and Jesus. And they use all of these. This is curse and blasphemy. This is blasphemy of the highest order. And so, it's right here in Scripture, and I'm going to go through Exodus chapter 20 and read to you from the Ten Commandments. Now I want to show you something here. Yahweh's original name being Yahweh, as we understand it today, and I've got a tract here from the House of Yahweh here in Abilene, Texas. And it's the question on the front of it that says, who is Lord God and who is Baal? Well, Lord God and Baal are one and the same in the Egyptian folklore and their law and their canons. Okay. So, and also this here name Jehovah, which appears four times in the KJV, and this Adonai, which don't appear at all in the KJV, but Jehovah and Adonai are used interchangeably in the pagan houses of worship. I'm talking about the Protestant churches, the Sunday-keeping world, and I'm talking about the Seventh-day Adventist world. They use that also, Jehovah and Adonai, interchangeably with Lord God. And they call it the Adonai and Jehovah sacred names for Lord God. But this Jehovah and Adonai comes right out of Egyptian antiquity. And it was transferred into the Hebrew language. The Egyptians knew that they had to go through the Hebrew language, so they created their own name to be called Hebrew. And so there again, you have a hybrid form of Hebrew that the Egyptians created and transferred into the Hebrew language. All right. Now, that being said, I'm going to read to you now from Exodus chapter 20, dealing with the Ten Commandments. And Yahweh, starting with verse 1, and Yahweh spake all these words, saying, I am the Yahweh, the Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Yahweh, thy Elohim, am a jealous Yahweh, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh the Elohim in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. He will not hold him guiltless. Now I'm going to go turn back now to Leviticus 24. And I'm going to start with verse 10 again. Leviticus 24:10. And read that to you again. And the son of an Israelitish woman, let's start at verse 9. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him, of the offerings of the Yahweh, made by fire by a perpetual statute. And the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Yahweh. Now, what does it say there? Now, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Yahweh thy Elohim in vain. In other words, that Egyptian fellow was taking Yahweh's name in vain. He said, no, this is the true name of Yahweh. And he gave it that Egyptian pagan name. And when he did that, the curse fell on him. As it came out of his mouth, the curse also from heaven, out of Yahweh's mouth, fell on him. Because the word had already been published. That's when I told Brother Johnson down in Kermit that day when we had our third meeting about Matthew 18. about going to your fellow man if you have aught against him and get it reconciled. Or if he has aught against you, either way, you're to get it reconciled and taken care of so that peace can be restored and unity can be restored in the church. And Brother Johnson was taking the side of the person in at fault, defending a wrong with Matthew 18. And I just stood up and took that Matthew 18 out of his hand and out of his mouth. And I said, no, I said, I'm going to read it. And I'm going to bind this truth in heaven because I'm in the right. And when I did, Yahweh's word fell from heaven as I quoted it. And it brought a curse upon Brother W. Johnson. And that's what brought him to his end. I bound that truth in heaven right there. And so that's what happened right here. This truth of Aaron that Aaron had published there in Leviticus, that was published by Aaron's mouth. And it says in Leviticus 24, verse 8, every Sabbath he shall sit in order before the Yahweh continually. It's talking about Aaron being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And there's that everlasting covenant, and that word everlasting don't appear but just a few times in the KJV. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place. In the holy place, that's the first apartment. For it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Yahweh made by fire by perpetual statute. There's your perpetual statute. Continual. And the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel, and the son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of Yahweh. In other words, he's saying, all those things that Aaron is doing in the most in the holy place, eating of that their holy offering, so that's all wrong. That's that, in other words, and using that sacred name and so forth. Your whole sanctuary system is all wrong. I don't believe in it, and I'm not going to follow it. That's really what he was doing. And so whenever he wouldn't accept the true name of the Hebrew name for Yahweh the Father and his son Yahshua, then he 100% blasphemed and cursed. Cursed this Israelitish man and what he stood for. And he said, and they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shulamith, the daughter of Debri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward. Well, the first place, it showed that this Israelite woman was one of the 12 tribes, his mother, was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. She was of the tribe of Dan. And she married an Egyptian man. No doubt she married him down in Egypt when they were in captivity. Well, Joseph did the same thing. He married an Egyptian woman. But Jacob, his father, adopted the two sons of Jacob into the family of the 12 tribes and put a blessing on them and anointed them. And Yahweh took it out of their hearts to want to follow any customs of the Egyptians that they were born with. Any inheritance or anything like that. Yahweh took it out of the hearts of Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, after Jacob had adopted them into the family of Israel and had them anointed for leadership of two tribes of Israel. Then he took it out of their hearts to follow any kind of pagan customs or anything because they were not taught the Egyptian pagan customs. Joseph taught them down in Egypt the Israelites' customs and the sacred name, and 100%. That was one reason why Jacob, the father of Joseph, could take his two grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and anoint them and set them up for leadership in Israel, because they hadn't been contaminated by the false doctrine of the Egyptians. But this Israelitish woman that married this Egyptian man down in Egypt, her son was tainted by the Egyptian customs. In other words, he was raised up with the Egyptian pagan customs and names. And that's the reason why he didn't have any fear to go out and blaspheme the name of Yahweh there in the wilderness. But because this Egyptian man was delivered by the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Passover coming out of Egypt, and he consented to that blood to be delivered out of Egypt into the wilderness with the Israelitish people, this Egyptian young man and his mother agreed to take of the blood of the cup of the everlasting covenant of Israel down in Egypt in order to be delivered out of there with the whole congregation of the Israelites and Egyptians. And everybody that came out of Egypt, they came out by the blood of the everlasting covenant that was performed at the Passover supper down in Egypt. That's how they were delivered. And so when they got into the wilderness, this Israelitish young man that was part Egyptian, he reneged on keeping his end of the bargain. He said, I just did that just to get out of Egypt. I agreed to that covenant just to get out of Egypt. But he said, now that I'm out here, I don't believe in that stuff. And so when he reneged and he apostatized, and then it cost him his life. You get the point? And so it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you take of the Passover service unworthily, you partake of unto your own damnation and destruction. That's what that Egyptian Israelitish mother and son did, and that Egyptian father. That's what they did. Or at least the son did. It didn't say the mother and the father that they had apostatized, but the son did, and the son was stoned for it because he partook of the Yahshua's supper down in Egypt unworthily because in his heart he didn't believe in it. But the blood covered him anyway because he was in the congregation of the Israelites the night that the death angel passed over, and the blood was upon the doorpost of the house that he was in, and so therefore he was delivered, just like Achan was delivered into the land of Israel with the children of Israel under Joshua. Even though and Joshua and the children of Israel had to partake of the Yahshua's supper before crossing over Jordan to the Promised Land, and Achan partook of that supper as well, but he didn't. He took of it unworthily because he didn't believe in it. He was just going along for the ride. He wanted to get into the Promised Land, so he had to partake of that blood of the everlasting covenant of the Passover in order to get into the Promised Land. And then once he got into the Promised Land, he picked up where he left off and his deceitfulness and blasphemy and cursing Yahweh, worshiping with the congregation outwardly, having a form of righteousness, but denying the power thereof by maintaining in his heart the deceitfulness that he didn't really believe in that to begin with. That was like Judas Iscariot at the cross. Outwardly, he performed his vows. He looked, according to the other 11 disciples, he looked like he was one of them in heart and in intent. But Judas, in his heart, was a traitor and a betrayer. He didn't believe in that for sanctification and so forth, to follow the statutes of the sanctuary, as Yahshua taught them. And Yahshua knew his heart. He knew that he was that way. That's the reason he vetted him and tested him at the Yahshua's Last Supper that he had with his disciples. He vetted them all. And Judas, the lot fell on Judas Iscariot, and you know the rest of the story. He blasphemed and cursed the sanctuary system, the sacred name, and all that it stood for. That's what cursing and blasphemy means. That's what Alan DeLong did right here with us. He blasphemed and cursed that sacred name and the sanctuary system and what it stood for. Alan's own actions through the years showed that he did not follow the sanctuary system for sanctification because that wasn't what was in his heart. He followed the sanctuary system for the blessings that come from it and for just tagging along until he could find a place to get off, and that's what happened here. That's what has happened to the Adventists worldwide for last 175 years. Last 175 years. Or last 170 of the plus years since 1844. Now back to our reading in Exodus chapter 20. We're going to go to verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Yahweh the Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Yahweh the Elohim giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not Yahweh speak with us, lest we die. Moses said unto the people, fear not, for Yahweh is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not them. Okay, are we learning now a little bit more about what constitutes sinning and blaspheming and cursing? Are we learning a little bit now? Yes, I hope we are. And it says, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where Yahweh was. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make with me gods of silver. Neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon by the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, and all places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee, and if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, and thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. I tell you what, let's just go right on into Exodus chapter 21, dealing with the judgments. He says, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the harvest shall, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Okay, so now if he don't want to go out free, he wants to stay with his master for life, then he can bore his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as men's servants do. If she please not her master, who hath betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed, to sell her unto a strange nation. He shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her. And if he have betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. And if he do not these three unto her, then shall she go out free without money. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but Yahweh deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now that's the same way that if you curse Yahweh, blaspheming his holy name, and in other words, you curse his sanctuary system that he has set up with the blood offering and so forth for your salvation, for your redemption, for your eternal life, and you turn on that and curse all of that. But when you curse your mother and your father that Yahweh has given unto you, your parents, if you curse them, you're telling your mother and father, I no longer believe in your Yahweh and the sanctuary system. Well, that's what happened to Cain. Cain had to stay in his father's house for at least 30 years and be subservient and obedient unto his father's house, because that's the age that a son is given his inheritance, especially the firstborn. He gets a double portion of his father's inheritance, and then he is sent out from his father's house at the age of 30. That's the law of the priesthood. Those that inherited the priesthood of his father's house. And that's what Cain was. So Cain, no doubt, offered up animal sacrifices that Adam and Eve taught him until he came to the age of accountability. And that was the age of 30, believe it or not. I know in Yahshua's day, they call the age of accountability at the 12 years old. That's true, too. But you're bound to your father's laws of your father's house until the age of 30. And then you are sent out to go and take a wife from thence and cleave unto her and raise up your own family and establish an inheritance for your children. And Cain, he chose to change the form of worship that was taught by Adam, to bring an animal sacrifice unto the east gate of the Garden of Eden, and to offer his sacrifice there made with the stones from the ground that made up the altar. Cain went and became the first brick mason in the history of the world. He went out and took the clay of the ground, and he formed him some bricks, some square brick, and he manicured them and made an altar of brick and mortar. And then he went and took the fruit of the ground, of the vegetables and so forth that he had planted in his garden, and he took that and he brought it and offered it upon his man-made altar. All of this is contrary to the sanctuary system that Yahweh taught Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had to perform their vows according to the ordained system of true worship that Yahweh had given them to follow in order for them just to even live on out there a lot of time here on this earth. And Cain rose up and rebelled against that. The very thing that perpetuated life in under sin, Cain rebelled against it. And he rebelled so much so that he went out and slew his younger brother Abel, because Yahweh had respect unto Abel's altar by sending fire down from the throne of heaven and consumed Abel's offering, showing that Yahweh had accepted Abel. Where it says over there in, I believe, Hebrews chapter 11, 4, it says, Abel offered unto Yahweh more excellent sacrifice than Cain, whereby he obtained witness that he was righteous. So Yahweh told Cain, he says, if you do well, then you're in good shape, but if you don't, sin lies at the door. And you haven't done well, so sin lies at the door, and I'm putting a curse upon you. And I'm sending you out of the promised land. In other words, I'm sending you over the mountain into another land that is not called by my name. Alright, that's what happens when you curse your father and your mother. Cain cursed his father and his mother. And he showed this by going killing his younger brother. He was truly a Satan incarnate. He blasphemed his mother and his father. He blasphemed the Father of Heaven and the sanctuary system and this ordained system of true worship. He blasphemed the whole thing, just like Lucifer did. Like Lucifer did in heaven. Lucifer blasphemed in heaven and cursed Yahweh and had to be cast out of heaven. And then he blasphemed here on earth, here in Revelation 12. It shows where he blasphemed here on earth in the church. And when his next casting out will be out of the church here on earth. And then he will be cast down into the bottomless pit and be chained there for 1,000 years to be released at the end of 1,000 years for another small season. And then to be cast into the lake of fire. So it's just one casting after another. He was cast out of heaven, Lucifer. He was cast out of the church here on earth at the cross. Okay, and then he re-entered the church because the apostasy of the church at the cross, of the apostolic movement, they finally end up apostatizing and joining Satan's church, the pagan Rome, and then ecclesiastical Rome, the Catholic Church. And now they've come out of the dark ages, and here in these last days, Satan has re-entered the church. It proves that the Adventist church is the true Israelite church of today. Satan has proved that he has entered into that church and totally decimated it for the last 170 plus years. And now, at the sanctification and bringing forth 144,000, will be a sign that Satan has been cast out now of this purified church. That will be a sign here on earth. And then what happens? The angel of the bottomless pit, Yahshua, up in heaven, Revelation 21, comes down. And then after he's cast out of the church here on earth, which he will be cast out at the seal of 144,000, that comes out of the Adventist church. And then he will be cast out and numbered with the tares. And he will be bound into the bottomless pit. And then the saints that have been sealed of the 144,000. They will be free then to go to all the nations to get their brethren, the Gentile nations, to get their brethren and a clean vessel and bring to this holy mountain, Mount Zion, at the 12th and in the 12th hour. Alright. It says right there in Exodus 21:18, and if men strive together and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him, and then cause to be thoroughly healed. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according unto the, as a woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out his servant's tooth or his manservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified unto his owner, and he hath not kept him in, that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. Okay, so if the owner had been warned, pit bulldogs are the most dangerous dogs in the world, and they're the most owned dog, it seems like now, for protection of man. Yet, they're untrustworthy, and yet man continues to own them, and pit bulldogs continue to kill their neighbors. And the owner doesn't get put to death for it. According to this right here, the owner should be put to death. If he has a dangerous dog that kills somebody, then he should be put to death because he knows the danger of that dog. Okay, verse 30 in Exodus chapter 21. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him, whether he have gored a son, or have gored a daughter, according unto this judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant, or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. If a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit, and not cover it, or an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. And if one man's ox hurt another's, that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also they shall divide. Or if it be known that the ox hath used to push in time past, and his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. Okay, that's the end of chapter 21. Let's just go right on into chapter 22 of Exodus. If all these principles apply today to the rejuvenated and the restored house of Israel, folks. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep, this is in Exodus chapter 22 now, starting with verse 1. And kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox. and four sheep for a sheep. So now if a man steals an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten, that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause his field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn, or the standing corn, or the field be consumed therewith, he that killeth the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of a man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he hath put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, of which another challenges to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die, or he hurt or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of Yahweh be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which is torn. And if a man borrow all of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good, for it be an hard thing, it came for his hire. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. Okay, if her father utterly refused to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of the virgins. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Whosoever lies with a beast shall surely be put to death. He that sacrifices unto any Yahweh, or any god, save unto Yahweh only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Here it is right there. He that sacrifices unto any god, that's the Baal, the false gods, save unto the Yahweh only, he shall be utterly destroyed. So you see why everybody come under condemnation today. All Christendom, Sabbath keeping, feast keeping, all of the Seventh-day Adventists, Sabbath keepers, and all the Sunday keepers, they're all coming under the curse, because it blasphemed this system of worship and the Yahweh of heaven and his sacred name. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. This is an expression that new president of the Philippines used when he took office here this last year. He said to those drug dealers, he says, I will kill you. He didn't waste any words. He said, you continue on destroying the people of this land with those drugs and that they're addicted to right now. You keep supplying, brother. He said, I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. But Duterte made good on his word when he took office. He killed at least 3,000 in a 30-day period. He killed at least 100 a day average for 30 days. He made believers out of them. Made them turn from their evil ways. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. In other words, you don't charge him interest. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down, for that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. Thou shalt not revile their gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou be with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the 8th day thou shalt give it me. And you shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beast in the field. You shall cast it unto the dogs. Okay, that's the end of chapter 22. And this is good reading, folks. I admonish all of you folks that hears this sermon to continue on reading. Read the whole book of the Old Testament. Start with Genesis. Go all the way through, day by day. Assign you a certain amount of portion to read, and read it every day. Especially the first 5 books of the laws of Moses, and that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And read those, get those read, because those principles apply to us today. This brings a close to our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call on us, number 11. Click on our audio archives to hear this message and more. Let us close now with a song. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, by the Elijah Davis. Often I've drifted after the pleasures of this world at home. Many times the Spirit's tried to draw me, and so many times I would not let go. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, draw me. I am ready, for my heart is filled with joy. All the pleasures of this world are far behind me. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, make me whole. Many times my footsteps grew weary. Each step that I would take brought me pain. But now I'm rejoicing, I'm so happy, because I'm now called by His name. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, draw me. I am ready, for my heart is filled with joy. All the pleasures of this world are far behind me. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, make me whole. Oftentimes in this world I've been burdened by the cares of this life so vast. And one day an amazing thing happened. By God's grace I was healed from within. me now, Holy Spirit, show me. I am ready, for my heart is filled with joy. All the pleasures of this world are far behind me. Show me now, Holy Spirit, take me home. Show me now, Holy Spirit, make me.